chapter 8, verse 14. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Thursday we started with getting to know the Holy Spirit. And then this morning we continued with the Holy Spirit. But this morning we mentioned about you can't fake the fruit because the Holy Spirit produces a package of Christ-like character in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, peace, gentleness. And sometimes we want to react in the flesh or impulsively, but what we need to realize is that in order to react with love when it's not a lovable situation, or to react in peace when it's a very chaotic situation, or to be patient and long-suffering when it's a situation where you just want to get it over with, it's going to take a superpower, so to speak. The Holy Spirit of God living in us is what produces that type of fruit. It's not natural for us. It's natural for me to lie. It's natural for me to be selfish. I'll give you an instance. So I grew up in a Spanish church. It's Iglesia Bautista Libertad in Houston, Texas. And my pastor, Roy Carizales, he did a great thing where he had our church. We were not only witnesses, right? We'd go soul winning. But he taught us about missions, about loving the work of God there in Houston and then around the world. So we would take these missions trips. Well, there was a man from our church, Honduran. His name was Hermano Juan Hernandez. And he used to work in the port of Houston. Pastor Roy and my brother was a bus kid, so we would go with Pastor Roy soul winning at times. And they led this man to the Lord. He was working at the ship channel there in Houston. And this man, Juan Hernandez, started coming to our church. And then eventually he said, hey, I believe God's calling me to go back to Honduras and reach my people. And so Pastor Roy, you know, I was a little kid. I didn't really know what was going on. But Pastor Roy's like, okay, well, we'll help out the best we can. Of course, we were limited at that time. Very, very small church. And it's about 30. So it was when we were starting off. The church was like 10 years old. But he was one of our first people, missionaries, to go from our church. And to make the long story short, he started a ministry. And obviously at that time, you know, dollars in Honduran pesos or whatever it is. What is it in Honduras? Empiras, amen? Yeah. Empiras, there were, you know, the dollar's always been in high value. So we were able to help him with a feeding center, a church. Men of our church were able to go there, but also financially our church would donate. It was a time where he was asking everybody to. Well, I'm a little kid. I don't have a job. Amen? I don't have a J-O-B-B. Amen? I know it's how you spell it. But I didn't have a job. I'm going to tell you what my natural selfishness. It was during the time that I told you all the story about the Nikes when my mom taught me, go buy your own self some shoes, amen, get a job. Okay, it was during that time. So I was so focused on the Nikes. I ended up getting my Nikes, by the way. That's how selfish I was. And it's not about me, the story, but it's about how selfish I was. It was during the time where we were trying to raise to build a church and his ministry. Well, to kind of give us a heart for it, we ended up paying our own way, amen. We're broke, poor Hispanics, amen. Poor way, our way for a plane ticket to go to Honduras, amen. And, you know, enough money to go over there and eat and hopefully not die, amen. Just to go look at the ministry. We went to go look at the need. This man was already having 100 people every night sitting under a tree. And his wife and his children were there. And Pastor Roy, we're going along, you know, with this missionary, and we see a man. What do we use to plow the fields, especially in third world countries or back in the days? Amen. What was it that they, not John Deere, amen? A plow, okay.
Oxen,
right? Right, mule. That's what you use. Here was a man that was on the harness, pulling that plow. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a kid from Houston, amen. The only kind of jungle I know is the concrete jungle, amen. Amen. This is all new to me. I'm like, what's wrong with these country folks? Amen. But, you know, it's third world country. This man was pulling that plow. And Pastor Roy's like, man, he goes, who's this man? Why is he doing that? And the missionary said, well, he's a man from our church, Pastor Roy. And he goes, and, you know, he's plowing his field. And Pastor Roy's like, oh, he's from your church? He's like, I'm going to pray that. This is what Pastor Roy said. I'm going to pray that God would provide, you know, whether it's a mule or an ox. I forgot how he said it, but to help him. And then the missionary, I was shocked, amen? The missionary said, why would you do that? And so we were, I was a buskin. I'm like, what? You know, but I kept my mouth shut, amen? And then Pastor Roy's like, well, what do you mean? I know Juan said he gave up his ox so we could build our church. He goes, why would you take that blessing away? It's not that he can't afford to buy an ox. That's how selfish I was, amen? I wanted a pair of Nikes. I didn't give for the ministry. But what I'm trying to tell you is that kind of stuff is spirit-led. Because in the flesh, you'll be like your pastor and say, no, well, I want to be comfortable. I want what makes me feel better. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us to do things we don't feel comfortable with. And honestly, it's not better for us, so to speak, in our view. But I will tell you this. When we were in Huntington, West Virginia, and we were able to donate that, what is it, Mitsubishi? I don't know what it was, that car. We were able to donate a car. They were having a building fund thing, and we really didn't make money. We were an assistant pastor, amen? So we ended up giving our car and to donate it to help out. I remember that was like one of those things where I'm like, okay, let's do it. And my wife and I have, throughout the years, we've had to grow into that. Where we're not thinking, okay, what are we going to get? A tax? Hey, give me a piece of paper so we can get a tax break. That's what normally we do, right? Here's the thing. That's not who I was. That was a new creature. That was the person that the Holy Spirit was living in and moved me and my wife to say, you know what? We have a building project here. It was in Huntington, West Virginia. And we're like, we don't have money, but this is what we can do. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just trying to explain to you. Naturally, I'm a selfish person. And this is what I'm trying to get us to understand about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not lead us out of the will of God. One thing I don't have a regret is getting rid of that car. Why? Because now I have me a house. I have me three cars. I have me a pool. I have me a... No, okay. But no, it's not because of that. It's just sometimes we don't understand. This is God preparing your blessing in the future. What is it that you and I are investing in? And it's not monetary. It's not about cars. It's not about money. It's about the will of God. Am I investing in God's will for my life? Am I investing in God's will for my wife? Am I investing in God's will for my children in the future? We don't see it that way. But my friends, I'm going to tell you something. If you feel like you don't want to do it, you should do it. In other words, in the borders of doing right, because that's God's will. I didn't want to do that. My wife, she could tell you, we didn't want to do that, just give out the car like that. What? We wanted to what? What do you think you would want to do with the car that you want to get rid of? You want to what? Sell it. I mean, that's the smart thing to do, right? So we think. My goal here today is to explain that the Holy Spirit will never lead you outside the will of God. And this is why I'm bringing this up. Because sometimes in this society, in this generation, what we do, including yourself, your pastor, we replace, you know, God says, or what is it? Thus saith the Lord, right? That statement, thus saith the Lord. We replace it with, well, I feel led. Or we'll replace it with, the Lord knows my heart. Or we'll replace it with, God understands. He knows it all. Amen. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead me to a rap concert, a rock concert, a country concert. That's your flesh. That's not, oh, the Lord led me. God understands. My friends, no. That's my flesh. The same way I chose to buy a pair of Nikes instead of... That's who we are. So I want us to understand that the way the Holy Spirit works, He will not lead you outside the will of God, my friends. I want us to understand that every decision that we make, it's either going to be a holy one or an unholy decision. Every decision that we make as a church will either move us closer to the Word of God or further from the Word of God. It's either going to move us closer to the church of God, every decision we make, or move us further from the church of God. That's how you know if it's the Lord led me, your flesh, right? Or it's part of God's will. That's how you know. Many of us, we need to understand that God's not going to send us where the flesh is celebrated. Do you think, honestly, in a rock concert, they're going to celebrate Jesus? That's what it's about? Yeah? It's about flesh, right? It's about making you move. It's about your flesh, glorifying your flesh. What about a rap concert? I'm going to tell you, like your pastor, I've told you this before, I don't go there because I like it. What do you mean? I grew up around it. I like it. But I know it doesn't glorify God. It doesn't talk about Christ, amen? It talks about other things, amen? The Holy Spirit will never lead you outside of the will of God. Why is that so important? You're talking about concerts. Well, I'm talking about things that we tend to say, well, it's not a big deal. I just felt like doing it. My friends, we need to stop making decisions based off on feeling. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of what? Truth. Not a feeling. It's the spirit of truth. Where do you find the truth, Daniel? The Bible. Thank you. We don't have to cheat. Amen. The Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate young men that are paying attention. The Holy Spirit will always lead us toward Christ, not further away from Christ. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the what? Spirit of who? The spirit of self? God. They are the sons of who? If you're a child of God, if you're a daughter of God, if you're a son of God, right? Do you think that God is going to take you to a place where you're going to struggle with your addiction? Yes or no? Come on now. Yes or no? No. So think about it. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you outside the will of God. If I struggle with, okay, let's say I struggle with, what are the things that people struggle with? Amen. What is it? Anger. Okay, if I struggle with anger, thank you. Amen. Appreciate it. Give me a hard one. Okay, if I struggle with anger, amen, am I going to go or do things that make me angry? Amen. What are things that make us angry? Thank you, Brother Garrett. Amen. Thank you, Brother Edmundo. I appreciate it. Amen. Sorry, Miss Lauren. Everything makes him angry. Amen. Driving. Okay. Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to use a few choice words to the person that cuts you in traffic? Absolutely. Amen. You think that's the Holy Spirit or is that your flesh? Follow me? Because when the Holy Spirit says there's the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, or love, joy, peace, right? The fruit, singular. That means that He has a package deal. It's not different fruits. It's one fruit. It's a package deal. What is it? The character of Christ. So you think Jesus, oh, here you go. Now, that's why you got to be careful, amen? The same way, it's natural for us to get mad. It's natural for us to, you know, say a few choice words. It's natural for us to want to respond. It's unnatural for us, supernatural for us to say, it's all right. You did me wrong. It's unnatural. You know what I'm used to? Keeping the 9 Glock handy, right? You know, right next to me, H-Town, baby. That's natural to me because of the areas that we grew up in. You know how I responded, Brother Chris, sometimes when I was with my wife and my kids? And I had to think, oh, I have a wife and kids. I had that nine hand, you know, that nine Glock handy right there. Just because somebody would cross me over. Now, I wasn't brandishing it, but I was ready. But Pastor, you're a man of God. No, bro, I'm telling you, this is how I grew up. It doesn't mean I grew up the right way. These are these preconceived ideas that were put into me that this is what you're supposed to do to protect yourself. But when I got married to the redhead, amen, got a little civilized, and she's like, bro, this ain't the hood. She didn't tell me that. She's like, babe, what are you doing? Her way of saying this is not the hood or the ghetto is saying you have a wife and children now. And I'm like, oh, wait, yeah. Pastor, what are you talking about? Naturally for me is to react impulsive. The hard thing for me to do is to act opposite of what I'm naturally inclined to do. My friends, for you, it might be anger, right? Let's say you're doing work or you're doing something important and your child, I'm not saying y'all have children like this, but keeps asking you the same question like 1,000 times in the same day. Okay, I might be the only one. And you know, when they say repetition is the key to learning, they mean it, amen? And so you tell them the same answer. It doesn't change. You know, no. Can I get ice cream? No. Can I go do this or what? No. But they keep asking you. Eventually, by the 999th time, amen, the devil's number upside down, if you are doing something and you're working or you're doing something very important, amen, like trying to fix your lawnmower, amen, and that dumb little piece doesn't go into where that starter is because it's in the back part there. You have to bend some kind of metal because you're doing it your way. Amen. And you're trying to screw that baby on. And then your kid's like, Dad, can I do this? I'm like, what in the world? Do you think I want to respond? Oh, child. What thou needest? You know, I don't want to respond that way. I hit my finger. My hands are trembling. I'm struggling with this dumb little screw that obviously doesn't know it needs to go in there, amen? And that Briggs Stratton motor, amen? And it's not working with me. Then I have on top of that my child who decides to scare me because they think it's funny. I don't know why I have like a sign, hey, you know, scare me. Here's the thing. How do you think I want to react? Naturally, love, peace, joy, gentleness. No, that's not how we want to respond. But I will tell you this, the Holy Spirit will never lead us out of the will of God. My job as a parent is this, provoke not your children to what? And I could justify it, right? We could try to flip the scripture, amen, and try to twist it. But here's the truth. I'm supposed to follow the spirit of what? Truth. But they don't know better, Pastor. It's okay. Here's the thing. I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit leads us to God's will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm begging you. I beseech you, therefore, for this reason, right? This is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So he's speaking to people that are what? Saved. They're what? They're believers. They're Christians, not just by going to church, religious. They're not Pharisees. These are people that are saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is this a work? Yes or no? Every day. Doesn't matter if your lawnmower's not, hasn't been working for, amen, a while, amen, the grass is growing in the church, amen, and your house is double as that. It doesn't matter. That's not what it's saying. It's saying every day, right? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to present my body. Next one. And be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye what? Changed, transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. I should not be conformed to how I want to react. I should not be conformed to my flesh. Right? I should not conform to my impulse reaction, anger. I should not. If anything, I should change by the way I think. Well, how can you think differently? Get in the Word. Take on to the promises of God, right? And then obey them. That's the power. When you obey, when I obey. I want you to understand, Paul here is beginning with surrender. He's saying, even before he mentions God's will, right? Here's the will of God. On the second verse, before talking about God's will, what is it that we have to do first? We have to go back to the first verse. We have to what? Present your bodies. You need to surrender. I need to surrender. Every morning, we need to get to that place where we surrender to God's will, where we surrender to God's spirit. Excuse me. Many Christians, we want the direction of God in our life, but you know what we don't want? The dedication to God. I don't want to dedicate myself to God. God, I want you to answer my prayer. God, I don't want to put in the work. I don't want to put in the sacrifice. I don't want to put in the effort. I just want you to be the genie in the bottle that whenever I ask you for something, you do it. My friends, that's not how this works. It's a two-way street in any relationship, right? Fathers, how would you feel if all your kid does when they come around you is ask you for things? I mean, we're fathers. We love them. Moms, the same way, right? We love our children, but eventually want them to appreciate us, to love us, teach them to appreciate us, to be thankful for the things that God has given us, right? And here's the thing, how you can teach them that. Create a relationship with them. Don't just enable them. Give them whatever they want. Sometimes in a relationship, you have to show some restraint. So teach them, in life, you're not always going to get what you want. Oh, Pastor, but I love my child. Yeah, because you love your child, teach them the truth. Teach them that it's not going to be mommy and daddy out in the world. That's not real. Teach them to be grown adults, not good children. Right? Well, this is what God's trying to teach us spiritually. I don't want you to stay spiritually immature like a child. Bad things are going to happen. You're going to pray for things and they're not going to go your way. And I'm not going to answer them the way you want me to answer them. And there's going to be bad things that happen to good people. But you know what true faith is? God, I'm still going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to be thankful for it. See, many of us don't want the pain. We don't want the suffering. And we don't want that commitment to God and say, God, I'm dedicated to you. Show me my direction. Because it hurts. It's uncomfortable, right? But I'm going to tell you that the Spirit of God will never lead us outside the will of God. Here, Paul is telling us this. There's an order. You present yourself. You separate from the world. You renew your mind, right? That's how you separate from the world, by the renewing of your mind. And then guess what you discover? That's the order. Some of us, we're like, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, have you followed the order? Have you surrendered to God, right? Before buying that house? Have you surrendered your God and presented yourself before buying that car or changing jobs or before making a decision that's going to affect your family? Have you surrendered to God's will? Have you surrendered your emotions, your desires to God? And then here's the next one. Have you separated yourself from what the world does? I'm not preaching to anybody. This is for us. This is that medicine that doesn't taste good going down, but praise the Lord, it helps us, right? This is the kind of stuff where God teaches us, look, when you do that, your mind's going to change. It's going to be renewed. Get into my word. And the Holy Spirit teaches us this. Then you'll discover God's will. You know, I've learned this. If you have a good heart, it's okay. I know people take advantage of it, okay? And my wife has mentioned something. She tries to use some rationale there and some logic, and she makes sense. She's like, why are you going to give people money and they're just using you, right? Or they don't even come and they don't give anything in that relationship, right? And you're just giving. It's true. It's true. And I'm not going to go against that, amen, especially because she's right here, amen? But I will say this. I'm not scared. But here's the truth, right? A lot of the secrets of the will of God are not hidden to people that are surrendered. This is why we have to grow. Because we get some insights. Like, we're like, I know it doesn't make sense, but I truly believe that this person will never be able to say, you know what, I went to that church, they never wanted to help me. You know, I went to that brother in the church, and guess what? He never pushed me away. He was there. They could still do whatever they're going to do, but those are the insight that God teaches us. We're not doing this for accolades. We're not doing this to be recognized. We're doing it to serve in the will of God for our life. Right? You just don't know how God might use you. And here's the truth. These things are not hitting from people that are surrendered. They're hitting from people that are stubborn. Psalm 143 verse 10 says this. Teach me. Amen. That's why it's a learning progress, okay? Teach me, that takes time, to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of what? Uprightness. David understood this thing that God's spirit leads us toward what? Land of uprightness. What does that mean? He's never going to lead me to a concert. Why? Because those concerts are compromising. Think about that. It's compromising the will of God. They don't teach about God. They don't preach about God. And I'm not saying you have to be awkward and weird Christian, but I am telling you this. Sometimes the things that you like and that you love, they're not always right. I love Syria. Amen. I'm just going to leave it like that. Amen. John 16:13. Amen. Amen. How be it, the background of the red is supposed to represent the words of Christ. How be it when he, the spirit of what? Is come, he will what? Guide you into all, for he shall not speak of, oh, I want to go to the concert because I feel like it. God understands. Obviously, you don't understand. Obviously, I don't understand because that's not what the Holy Spirit does. It doesn't speak of itself. Amen. Oh, it makes me feel good. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. That's a different spirit. Amen. That's that bad pepperoni from last night. That's that kind of spirit. That's bad. No. That's spiritual constipation. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What is that? Faith cometh by what? And hearing by the? So what is the Holy Spirit hearing? The word of God. He can only speak about Jesus. That's the Spirit of God. Right? It's not talking about, oh, it's hearing the next gossip on Facebook. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about it can only speak those things that are godly. So, you, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God living in you. That Spirit of God is what's going to help lead you into God's will. And it's going to help you do the things that you are not naturally able to do. Let me ask you something. How many of you have been betrayed? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have been mistreated? Raise your hand. How many of you have been attacked? Not physically, but, you know, you've been attacked. Amen. Have you forgiven those people? It's hard. That's the toughest thing. That's what that supernatural thing is. How am I supposed to love my enemies, God? I'm going to pray for somebody's well-being that just wants to hurt me? Wants to hurt my family? That's not natural. Is that fair? That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit says, look, the only one that's going to be suffering, Zeke, it's you. Okay, your dad left you. So what? Oh, God, how can you speak to me like that? Right? No, I don't hear voices. It's just the way the Spirit works. Amen. The way the Spirit works convicts you about the wrong thinking. He doesn't speak about himself. I speak about myself because I'm poor little old me. I'm a victim. I grew up in H-Town, amen, on Fifth Ward. Amen. There was a park there named Pearl Harbor there off of Jensen Road, amen, and Cavalcade. They called it Pearl Harbor for a reason, amen. But it's one of those things where I could look at all the negative, the circumstances around my life, or I could just say, God, you permitted me to experience this life. For what reason? Oh, to do your will? To make me stronger? To make me the father in the future that I need to be for my children? To make me the husband that I need to be in the future for my wife? I didn't have a family. I wasn't married to her at 14. I would have loved to, though, but I wasn't. You follow me? So how am I going to get to from point A to point B? Unless I follow God. And I'm willing to give forgiveness when my dad didn't deserve it. But you know what I received? Forgiveness that I didn't deserve. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you that wherewithal, I guess, to do that, to do the opposite of what you want to do. I had anger for my father for 7 years, 14 to 21. I told you my story. And by the grace of God, I didn't die. By the grace of God, I didn't end up in prison or, you know, or worse. But here's the truth. I had to come to this conclusion and say, and listen to the Holy Spirit. The only one that was being hurt was me. Why? I was carrying what? What else? What else? Yeah. That's what I was carrying. And guess who was the one only being hurt? The container of that bitterness, that anger, me. That's why 7 years I rebelled. And the only way that I could numb it was through the wrong influences. And I'm going to tell you about her. But it was through the wrong influences. I'm talking about Mary Jane. Okay. But I did it because I wanted to numb the pain. Can I tell you something? There's another influence in our life. It's called the Spirit of God. And I don't regret it. I don't regret asking for forgiveness. I don't regret saying, Dad, you did what you did. You messed me up. But I'm willing to forgive you. Obviously, I still struggle with it, but that's the natural, right? What I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit leads you to a road of recovery and helps that inner child that was hurt and damaged heal. Pastor, how? I have the opportunity to serve you. That's how I heal. I try to say, hey, look, avoid this pitfall because this looks similar to, if you go this route of bitterness, it looks similar to what I've already been through. Don't do it. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see who can lead you. I can't lead you, but I can point you to the one that can. You follow me? Pastor, how do you break the cycle? That's how you break it. Let the Holy Spirit be your master and stop putting yourself on the top shelf. You gotta let go of the control. I want you to understand the Holy Spirit leads us into God's will. We are in John 16:13. But I want you to ask this. Instead of asking the Lord, hey, what do you want me to do, God? I want you to ask, Lord, have I surrendered everything? Because that's different. Right? That's different. God, I'm hurt. And I've gone through pain, God. Do I want to really surrender that? Can I tell you what that's helped me with? There have been times and moments in our lives where we've been attacked, our family has. People have tried to driven wedges in our marriage. And it hurt. It really hurt. Betrayal. Deception. A lot of lies and things of that nature. Being able to forgive my father, who really, really hurt me, and I truly loved, made it easy for me to forgive others that, no offense, but they come and go. Guess what it did? It took that power away from them. You know, the only reason people want to hurt you because they think they're succeeding. That's the spiritual. Don't allow circumstances, don't allow people or individuals to have that power over you. Give it to God. That's the insight. Give it to God. Before asking, Lord, what do I need to do? Have I surrendered everything? Because here's the thing. Many of us want the direction of God's will in our life, but we're not willing to let go of that steering wheel. Now I'm in control. My friends, you can't tell me that you're looking for God's will, and yet you're still holding on to the world's pleasure. There's a price. Follow me? Again, would I like to go to a rap concert? Okay, I'm going to leave it like that. Amen. But I'd rather have God's blessings. At the rap concert, I wouldn't have been able to find my wife. Yeah, I don't. I'm believing those. Amen. Amen. And I'm not debating the technicalities or the details, but I'm trying to explain to you, if it glorifies my flesh, right?
you.
No, okay. But you follow me. That makes me jump. It makes me want to move. Christian rap, if it makes me want to move, am I really bringing honor and glory to God? Or is it my flesh? You don't have to answer that. I'm just trying to explain. The Holy Spirit will never lead me outside the will of God. And the Holy Spirit has taught me it's not about me. Oh, I feel. That's good. You feel that. Amen. I feel heartburn sometimes. Amen. But it's not about feeling. We're letting the heart lead instead of the truth. That's hard. But I'm telling you, it's sweet when you're able to break the cycles of poverty, of sin, of violence in your life. I was supposed to end up like my father. Why? Because that's the example. I didn't do anything special. All I said, I chose and said, God, I'm going to do it your way. That's all. Second point, I talk too much. The Holy Spirit leads us away from the flesh. First point, the Holy Spirit leads us to God's will, into God's will. The Holy Spirit, second point, leads us away from the flesh. This I say then, I walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not. Okay, what's the action? Come on now. In the Spirit, not in the flesh. What's the difference? The Spirit is what God wants us to do. The flesh is what we want to do. It's that simple. Okay? Fair? Okay. So we have to do something. I don't know about you, but I like drinking Coke. Amen? Some of y'all like drinking alcohol. Okay. That's an influence. Right? Coke, it's an influence. Amen? Pray for me. Amen? I'm an addict to caffeine. Pray for me. I'm making a choice. Either I'm going to choose to drink Coca-Cola, that's bad for me. I'm already a little overweight. Amen. I have high blood pressure. But I have to choose. Should I stop drinking that Coke? Only on special occasions, babe. Should I stop drinking Coke so I could be here longer for my kids, my wife, right? Or should I listen to the Holy Spirit? Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church, that he what? Sacrificial love, baby. My wife says, hey, I don't want you drinking Coke because I love you and I actually want you to live. I'm like, but it's Coke. I mean, Coca-Cola. I mean, in case those people are listening out there. Coca-Cola. Amen. It's Coca-Cola. Here's the thing. We have to do something, right? We need to walk in the Spirit. It says, here's the promise. And ye, this is just another Texas word, y'all. And y'all, plural, right? You all. And ye shall not fulfill, what's the promise? You're not going to fulfill what you want to fulfill. Your desires. Here's the promise. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't fulfill the anger management. Or I'm sorry, the anger. You won't fulfill the bitterness. The unforgiveness. The hatred. You won't fulfill it. Oh, but it's hard, Pastor. I know. It's hard for you. It's not hard for him. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. That means that when I received Jesus Christ, guess who came into me? The Spirit of God. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to float in the air and levitate. That's fulfilling your pleasure, your flesh. You want to, hey, watch me. Calm down. We're here to do the Father's will, right? The Father's will might be that he wants you men to be a good father. Nothing wrong with that. Some of you, he wants you to be good businessmen, good employees. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Some of you, he wants you to be good husbands. Nothing wrong with that. For you ladies, he just wants you to be a good wife. Nothing wrong with that. A good mother to your children. Nothing wrong with that. In America, we see, right, the results of a broken home. Do we not? I came from one. It's hard, man. We think it's hard on the couples. It's the kiddos, man. It's the kids. We need to stop thinking about self and start walking in the Spirit. Pastor, what if, I'm already in that situation? I understand there's delicate situations. Okay. Like Jesus told the lady that was caught in adultery, right? I'm forgiving you. I'm not condemning you. Where are those that condemn you? Go and what? Okay. Don't do it again. Is that simple? Well, how can I not do it again? Walk in the Spirit.
Doesn't mean you're never going to sin. It's not talking about perfection here. It's talking about being a mature spiritual person, understanding that, God, I'm going to fail you, but praise the Lord, I have John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that. It's not giving me a license to sin, but it's helping me put things in perspective. You're saying, I'm not going to have a glorified body until I get to see you and I get to heaven. I understand that, God. I'm not going to be perfect at it. I'm going to lose it every once in a while, but you give me a way back to restore my relationship with you. My friends, the whole point here is this. The Holy Spirit leads us away from the flesh. And I am bringing this to close because I guess I've gone over. Amen. I didn't know that. Paul is telling us this. Paul gives one command with one promise. So here's the thing. As a Christian, it's not just about me avoiding sin. It's not about you avoiding sin. It's this. It's about following someone. That's what it is. His name is Jesus. He has teachings. This is how we could be his disciples, right? And so the closer you and I walk with the Spirit, the less attractive. I don't want to give you too much secrets, but that's what it is. The less attractive the things you want to do, the things you want to watch, the things you want to hear, they become less attractive. I can't give you too much of that because that's part of you growing up. It's not secrets in life. It's just you have to pick and choose. The holiness, third point, the Holy Spirit always produces holiness. Oh, no, no, no. Go to Ephesians 5:8 real quick. I'm done. 5:18. 5:18, bro. Sorry. And be not what? Come on now. And be not drunk with Pepto-Bismol. Oh, my bad. And be not drunk with what? What are the things that, those cough syrups, what are you? Benadryl? With Benadryl. That has alcohol, by the way. Be not, NyQuil, thank you, NyQuil. Amen. So, for those of you that are drunks. Be not drunk with NyQuil. No, it's not saying that, right? What is it saying? Come on now. What is wine? Yeah, it's not grape juice here. Not here. It's talking about alcohol. Fermented, right? Why is it talking about that? It's not to make us feel a certain way. No, no, no. Why? It's trying to tell you that's an influence. Okay? Under the influence, you ever heard that statement? Yes or no? Okay, that's what it's talking about. And be not with hot chips. Okay? With wine. Okay. Wherein is what? What is it? It's an influence. Hey, don't be in a drunkard stupor, right? Don't get so drunk. Now you're under this influence. Follow me. What other influence is he talking about? But be filled with... How many influences are there? Alcohol or the Spirit? And it's trying to tell you this. It's trying to explain to you. You say, Pastor, I can handle my blah, blah, whatever. Okay. Let me ask you this, right? Why does it have to control you? That's why it's saying, and be not drunk. Don't let it control you, right? Don't let that influence you. It's trying to talk about two influences. Alcohol controls, and guess what? The Spirit of God controls. That's why it's using this as a contrast. Because this is what wine does. It controls. As much as you want to be in denial, okay? And it's not a river in Egypt. It's up to you. But this is what it is. Now, you say, Pastor, I could either believe you or me, baby. Or, I'm sorry. Sorry, baby. Sir, ma'am, you're not a baby. Sir, ma'am, here's the thing. The Word of God doesn't lie. And be not drunk with wine. It's talking about a control thing, right? So, you and I could say, well, we control it. Okay. But it's talking about here, don't let this control you. Okay. That's what it's talking about. With that said, it's so important we understand this. God never intended his people to come under the influence of what? But of what? Can you see that? Yeah. Is that fair? Okay. That was never intended for us to be controlled by. Yeah. But to be controlled by, that's simple. Now you say, Pastor, why is that important? Because these two influences
are important. And here's what I want you to understand. Instead of asking, God, do I need to go here? How about this? Will this help me walk with the Spirit? That's a question, right? Before you do something. God's not going to lead me to an environment that glorifies drunkenness, sensuality, profanity, rebellion. You know where he's going to send me? A place that produces holiness, self-control, and a life that's centered over Christ. Here's the thing. If I'm an addict, right? Let's say I have a gambling problem. Where should I not go? Yeah, in the hood or in the alley, you know. No, I'm kidding, okay. But yeah, in the hood is different, right? But I shouldn't go to a casino if I have a gambling problem, right? All I'm going to do is watch, Tyler. That's all I'm not going to spend money. I'm just going to watch. But that environment is meant to what? To draw you in to what? Right? If I have that problem, why would I put myself under that influence? If I have a problem, right? You say, well, I don't have a problem. Well, eventually, guess what you are going to have? A problem. Why? That's what those places are made for. For you to spend your money there. I'm going to tell you, look at it this way. Eventually, that environment will shape your desires. Because you're saying, I'm just going to go look. But if you choose to go there repeatedly, do you think you're eventually going to be influenced? Yes. We could be in denial. If you repeatedly go to church, do you think you're going to be influenced? That's why you need to go to the right church. What do you mean? Not a church that's ran by preference, but that's ran by the Word of God. That gives you scripture for you to go home and look and say, hey, is that really what this Bible says? And I know I've said this before. We're done. I know I've said this before. Don't go home and say the pastor said. Please don't do that. Amen. Ladies, don't do that to your husband. Amen. I don't need the men of our church to hate me. Amen. Here's the thing. I'm preaching from the what? The Word of God. So you can go home, ladies, and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. Different. Men, please don't go home and tell your wives, the pastor said. I definitely don't need ladies to be upset with me. Amen. Be a big boy, big girl, and say, hey, let me show you what the Bible says. Because what I preach from here is not my opinion. It's not what the pastor says. It's what the Bible says. I'm just a mouthpiece. When you receive mail from the mailman, do you say, oh, it's from the mailman. Look at this letter he wrote to me. No, he's just the what? The carrier. He's just a messenger, right? I'm just a messenger. Please, don't kill me, all right? The point is this, folks. When we come down to this place in our lives, we realize the Holy Spirit will not lead us outside the will of God. I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be better for you, a good outcome for you, for your family, and for your children, and for your church. But you have to, and I have to, understand who is leading us. Are you making choices based off of your desires and wants, or are you making decisions based off of what the Word of God says? Bow your head, close your eyes. The third point was the Holy Spirit always produces holiness. I didn't get to touch that. I want you to know that in this world, I get it. Holiness looks boring, okay? Marriages look boring. If you don't work at it, that's what the world has made marriage boring. Nowadays, it's just, you know, if you have a large family, oh man, there's something wrong with you. I get that. But here's the thing. I will tell you that walking with God is anything but boring. It's anything but boring. You and I, if we can understand this truth, you live with a clean conscience. You feel, you live with a heart that's Spirit-filled. And here's the thing. You live with the favor of God on your life, God smiling on your life. Wouldn't you want that for your children? As the piano plays, probably what we need to start asking is, how can I get closer to God? How can I get closer to Jesus without distraction? My friends, the Holy Spirit is how. You know, the Holy Spirit will never lead us, never lead me, never lead you to love things that have nailed Jesus on the cross, our sins. He will never lead us to that. Sinful situations. He will always lead us to love the one that died on the cross for us. If you decide, and I'm not saying you can never have pleasure. I'm not saying you can never have a good time. I'm not saying don't take vacations. That's not what I'm saying. But please distinguish between, am I exposing my family to something that's going to draw us farther away from God, or is going to draw us closer to God? Are my intentions and my motives to have more pleasure and enjoy life and kind of sin and just not think about anything and not feel guilty? Or can I still have good, clean fun with my family and not exposing them to any dangers that this world has to offer? Am I going to be able to lead my family away from these pitfalls, these sinful pitfalls? My friends, we've been hurt too long because we've made decisions that have been selfish. And if you want to be a person that is selfless and thinks about their wives or thinks about their husband or thinks about their children, then you must acknowledge and stop ignoring the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. Stop worrying about how much of the world you can enjoy. Start asking, how much of Christ can I enjoy? How much of Jesus can I enjoy if the world loses its grip on my life? I know many of us, we come from different backgrounds, but we all struggle with different things. I get that. But can you imagine how much more can you enjoy Christ if the world loses its grip in your life? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your truth, Lord. I know growing up, especially in Houston, Lord, I know sin's here. And I know sin abounds here as well. But Heavenly Father, I just, the things that I saw there, you could see the damage of sin. Like when that's done to the extreme. I saw broken homes. I saw mothers without husbands and having all these children to raise on their own. Heavenly Father, I saw the sin of greed and Lord, just, that's what we were creating in that environment because we were so selfish and we wanted to do what we wanted to do. And Heavenly Father, I remember thinking, going to church and thinking, man, I'm going to be weird. Like, I'm not going to fit in. I remember that, Lord, thinking that. But I'm thankful, Lord, that I ended up making that decision because you were preparing me for another type of life, a life that will follow your leading. And honestly, Lord, looking back now, I'm glad I followed you because I don't regret it. And Heavenly Father, I know it's not easy and it's hard, but that's why we're trying to point everyone to you. Not to me, to you. Not to the church, to you. Not to this sermon, to you. So I just pray, God, that this message would resonate with the listener, the hearer, and when we go home, Lord, as a believer, that we would apply these truths to our life to start living a life that's not selfish, but that's led by the Spirit of God. The honor and glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I know I went over, amen, a lot. Forgive me. Amen. Pardon me. But listen, make sure that Danny feels welcome. Amen. First time visitor here at our service. Danny, if you don't come back, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Tyler, okay? And amen. No, I'm joking. But I hope this helped. I'm really trying to have our church get in tune with the Holy Spirit. We won't regret it. We won't. Will it be hard?